This is episode number 17 with Mr. Don Yeager. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Hey, all you beautiful greats out there. Thanks so much for tuning in today and listening to this episode. It's going to be a fantastic one because I've got my good friend, Mr. Don Yeager on. And yes, Don is a true champion. And before I introduce our fantastic guest today, I want to do the quote of the day. I said I was going to start doing the quote every time we do a new episode. So I've got a cool quote today that I like, and it's from Muhammad Ali, a man that's known for greatness. He said, "I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion." Now, this is perfect for me because I am 1 week away from the national championship tournament for team handball. And for those who've been checking in on me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, I've been posting pictures and talking about this. I moved to New York City a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, to learn a new sport, an Olympic sport called team handball. And now I've got an opportunity to compete in the national championships. I'm on the USA national team, but I'll tell you what, practicing on the weekends and late nights on the weekdays is not fun. It's never been a lot of fun, you know, having to sacrifice giving up a lot of your free time to do something you really want to do. But the journey is fun, and it's given me an amazing opportunity to achieve my dreams and go after my dreams. So I am pumped. I'm super pumped. It's in Reno next week, 3-day tournament. Hopefully bringing home the national championship for New York City team handball. Big shout out to my teammates. And we've got a great guest today. I am super pumped. He is in the house today with me. His name is Mr. Don Yeager. He's got a book out called Greatness, The 16 Characteristics of True Champions. And he is going to unleash something about greatness that you probably didn't even think about. He's going to tell you his definition and tell you some of his top 16 characteristics of what it means to achieve greatness. Now, Don Yeager is an amazing individual, awesome guy, and just an inspiration to me. I've known him for a couple of years, mostly just we've had a phone interaction and email interaction, but finally get to see him in the flesh today. Super pumped. And for those that do not know who Don Yeager is, he is a 7-time New York Times best-selling author. Now, that's 7 different books. In my mind, getting one book as a New York Times bestseller would be pretty cool, but he's done it 7 different times, and he's going to talk a little bit about what he's done to achieve that. He was also a longtime associate editor for Sports Illustrated. He's been on Oprah. He's been everywhere. He's hangs out with the top athletes in the world. He interviews them. He writes books with them. So he gets to dive in behind the mindset of what the greatest champions of our time, how they think, how they act, how they live, how they breathe, what they eat, who they hang out with. And he's going to share exactly what it takes to be great on this episode today. So I am super pumped because he's an awesome guy. He's going to share with you some great stuff. Now, I want to give a quick shout out to the review of the week from my friend Dan. And his iTunes handle is KaiCardAD1 or KaiCardDad1, whichever one you want to say. He says, "Thanks for the inspiration. I enjoy your work. Great people become great by hard work and applying correct principles. Thank you for introducing me to great people and allowing me to learn from them." So I appreciate it, Dan, for that. You are correct. I think that when you have mentors, people that can teach you some things, that's the way you're going to become great. And you're going to learn some great things about that from our guest today, Mr. Don Yeager. I'm super pumped about that. Also, everyone, keep posting on Instagram or on Twitter or on Facebook where you are listening to these episodes all over the world. We had, who did I see today on Instagram? In front of the Sydney Opera House, I saw Ralph Cooey, I think the last name you say is Cooey. Ralph Cooey posted a pic saying he was listening to the episodes while he was in front of the Sydney Opera House. Pretty cool. Someone else was in the gym today, I saw on Instagram, and tagged me and said they were listening to it while they were working out, getting pumped up. Someone else was in the car. So go ahead and post a picture of where you are listening to this in the world. Tag me on Instagram or on Twitter and say hi. I would love to see what you guys are up to. And with that, guys, let's jump into this week's episode with my good friend, Mr. Don Yeager.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
How's it going, Don?
I am exceptional, Lewis. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Don just flew in from Florida, right?
Yeah.
From Florida. You're here speaking at UCLA. We were going to do this podcast over Skype or the phone the other day, but then I realized you were flying here, and I was like, let's just meet up in person.
Right. Awesome.
So I'm glad we got to hang out in my apartment studio. And for those that don't know Don, we connected probably about 2-3 years ago, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
All right. And you actually emailed me when we first connected, right?
I did. Absolutely. Very fascinated by what you do.
I appreciate it. And I remember getting the email from you and being extremely excited because I went to your website and I saw that you'd written like 4 New York Times bestsellers at that time, I think. Now you've written 6 or 7?
7.
7 New York Times. I don't know anyone else who's written 7 New York Times bestsellers.
Well, actually, I got a really nice letter from the book editor at the New York Times who actually told me that fewer than 50 people in the history of the New York Times list have written 7 on the nonfiction list. So
Wow. It's
kind of a pretty awesome. I don't know who the others are, but I'm sure there are a lot of really extraordinary people. And then there's me.
50 is still a lot of people. I would not think that many people have done it.
Yeah.
7 New York Times bestsellers. It's pretty impressive. You also you were the associate editor at Sports Illustrated for a number of years, correct?
I was. Absolutely. 12 years.
And you were in newspapers and media before then, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've had an amazing career. And what inspired you after working at Sports Illustrated to then go into the book world and start interviewing these amazing athletes? You did Walter Payton's, but you lived with him for a while, right?
I lived with Walter for the last 10 weeks of his life. Yeah.
It's amazing.
So I had actually written 3 books before I went to work at Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
In fact, it was one of those books that I think caught Sports Illustrated's attention. And there's not that many writers for Sports Illustrated in the whole world. So to be able to join their staff and to be a full-time employee and, to actually get a chance to participate in that community, which was really incredible, right? That's just some of the best,
right,
most amazing writers I've ever been in my life, was a great gift. So,
yeah. The best sports writers in the world, basically,
yeah,
right?
They really are. And so anyway, I had done 3 books before I got to SI full-time and then I joined the staff, was there 12 years. And during that time, wrote a handful of other books. And then 5 years ago, got a chance to retire and do an early buyout. And I was smitten with the idea of writing 1 or 2 books a year if I could. And
right.
Helping incredible people tell their stories. And then I wanted, as you know, to get out and get the chance to speak more and more often to corporate, to mostly corporate events.
Right. Now, who was the What was the first story you thought about writing about, or who was there an athlete that really inspired you that you wanted to share their story, or was that Walter, or was it someone else?
Well, Walter, Walter was my first kind of really interesting breakout book when it came to that. I was already at Sports Illustrated. I'd met him a few years earlier, and he was ill.
Right.
He knew that he was going to die. I did not, and nor did the public. He had been taken from the organ donor list, and he needed a new liver, and he would take it from the list because the disease in his liver had progressed to the stage that a new liver would no longer save him. And so he was looking to hire a writer, and he'd interviewed several, didn't really click apparently with those he interviewed. And then one day I was on Oprah, and I was in Chicago to be on Oprah. And the next day when he saw me on Oprah, he kind of remembered our interaction. But beyond that, he also just saw, I guess, something in me that he liked. And it was enough that he said, would you come be the guy?
Wow.
And, so I flew to Chicago and spent much of that last 10 weeks of his life with him, which was really incredible.
Did you know he was going to pass away eventually?
He told me that first day that I was there.
Wow.
He said, look, I invited you here because this is, it's over. And
wow.
I don't know what that, in fact, there's this long pause because I didn't know how to react. He's my hero, right?
He
was 46 years old. He was amazing. Jeez. And he looks at me and he says, I'm no longer on the list. And I had this long, I didn't know what to say. And Walter ultimately, he looked at me and he goes, so I hope you can write fast.
Oh my gosh.
He was just trying to make me laugh because he knew I was in this awkward state. And that was just Walter. He wanted to make you feel comfortable, in his presence. So I did. I jumped in with both feet, basically moved to Chicago and stayed at his home and
with him 5 hours a day, basically.
As much time, however long he was lucid every day, I was spending time with him.
Wow.
And it was really, it was incredible. I mean, it was, he believed in me in ways I wasn't sure I believed in me at the time.
Sure.
Gave me an opportunity that was a game changer. To this day, I have athletes who say to me that part of the reason they want to talk to me about telling their story is because they worshiped Walter. And if Walter trusted me, then they can trust me.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's amazing how sometimes one interaction like that can really help turn the
spark
trajectory.
A career, basically, right?
Yeah. Can change the trajectory of your life.
Now, did you know you only had 10 weeks or was it kind of like?
No, we had no idea.
You thought maybe
literally
you had 6 months to a year potentially.
I thought based upon what he had shared with me, that he probably had 3 to 5 months, and did not expect it to happen as quickly as it did.
Wow.
So
it's crazy.
The really kind of interesting thing about it was he was such an amazing guy. And he had a daughter, Brittany, who was 13 at the time.
She's on your speaker reel.
Yeah. She's so amazing. She's getting married this summer.
Wow.
Just got an invitation to her wedding and, all excited about getting a chance to go there. But, at the time there were many things that Walter wanted to share with her that he couldn't because she was 13 and he just couldn't say it. So interestingly, it became this relationship where he would say them to me, knowing that at the right and appropriate time, I would say them to her. So I've had wonderful relationship with both of his children, over the years. I was just with both of them actually a couple of weeks ago in Chicago I love their family. I love what they stand for and I love what they're all about. And Walter was incredible. And on a million levels, it was one of the great gifts ever given to me in my life.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you've interviewed hundreds of athletes, I'm assuming, right? Throughout writing and through books and things like that. But who was the most inspiring athlete you've ever interviewed or written about?
Inspiring, maybe it would, I don't know if I would say athlete, but athlete slash coach, John Wooden.
Mm.
Had the chance to work with Coach Wooden for the last 12 years of his life. And while he was, he actually became a mentor. We actually entered into a relationship where every other month for 12 years, I flew out here to Southern California to spend the day learning from Coach.
And he won the 12 national championships?
He won 10 national championships in 12 years.
Unbelievable.
And, anyway, in those years, all those hours of time sitting there interviewing, talking, learning, mentoring, John Wooden just inspired me to do things that I didn't believe I was capable of either.
Yeah.
So that's the amazing thing about finding the right people in your life. And that was really one of Coach Wooden's most important lessons is that you will never outperform your inner circle. You want to know what your capacity for greatness is, what your capacity for success is? Look at the people you have around you, because you'll never outperform them. And if you want to achieve at a higher level, improve your inner circle.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it really is it's a great challenge. I find myself all the time thinking about my circle. Who's in it? Who should be in it? And whether or not some people maybe need to have a different spot in the circle.
So what do you do if you've been, had friends you've had in the circle for years that you're like, okay, this no longer is serving me or helping me become a better person? Cut that relationship off?
You don't necessarily have to cut people off, because some of the people, for example, that I had to make decisions on related to my circle are family members.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't
get bad attitudes.
You can't get rid of a family member, right? Let's be honest. So, but what I would do is I just realized, rather than the amount of time I was allotting every week to conversation there, maybe it's half that.
Cut it back.
And what happens with that other time? I'm finding people, you have to govern who you put in that circle. And it's one of those places where your decision making will impact you greatly. And Coach Wooden, one day said to me, "You show me your friends and I'll show you your future."
Oh my gosh.
And,
quote.
Oh yeah. 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 You think about that and you start thinking about your friends, right?
Wow. That's impressive. Didn't he have the like pyramid of success?
He did.
Triangle
of
success.
He built a pyramid of success in 1914.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And, for many years just would go on to kind of be able to share it with, 1934. But he would go on and he would share this pyramid of success with people for many years. And I love it because you and I talk about greatness a lot. I mean, the top block on his pyramid was everything is built around getting to what he called competitive greatness. And competitive greatness is your ability to be your very best when your best is needed. And that's awesome, right? I mean, everything we do should be about, whether it's preparation or friendships or development of skill sets or whatever, everything should be built about getting us to the place where we're there to do our very best when our best is needed.
When it matters.
Yeah.
When the pressure's on, 5 seconds left. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Or when the business meeting requires us to suddenly change the trajectory because it's going south and we can all feel it.
Yep.
And who's going to step in and be your very best when that moment's needed?
Exactly.
The great ones have that capacity.
What was his book called again?
Well, he had several of them. I wrote one with him called A Game Plan for Life.
Didn't he have one that was like a blue book or something?
Yeah,
like
he did. Wooden on Leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, really incredible. But,
now you wrote a book with him.
I wrote a book with him.
Have you thought about writing a book like Lessons from Wooden?
No,
that could be.
I've actually
12 years working with him.
Yeah, I kind of wrapped a lot of that up in that, because the book that we did together was really around mentoring.
Gotcha.
Because he was a mentor to me.
Sure.
And so the first half of the book was a look at the mentors of his life, people who had made him who he was. And the back half were people whose lives he had changed by mentoring them. So you start getting that concept. You start thinking about the pay it forward nature of mentoring, of true mentoring, right?
Right.
And I learned a lot about mentoring because I used to think it was showing up at a school and, taking a volunteer arrangement.
Sure.
But that's not really mentoring. I mean, it's nice and that is nice and that's a good program, but mentoring is really about living a good life. Mm-hmm. If you live a good life, people will notice.
Yeah. Not one-on-one mentoring, but mentoring to the masses. Really.
You don't have to. Right.
Right.
And there's this, there's a commercial been on TV for a couple of years that I've always loved. And I think of Coach Wooden every time I see it, where you watch, a guy's getting off a bus and he's getting ready to step into traffic and somebody pulls him back.
Right.
And, and then later that day, that guy who is, notices somebody in a wheelchair trying to get across a curb. And, if you realize what life is about, it's about a series of pay it forward opportunities.
Right.
And mentoring's the ultimate one.
Now, how important is mentoring to achieving greatness?
I don't think you can achieve greatness
without a mentor.
Without mentors and without the willingness to mentor others.
Mm.
Again, I think there's a two-way street there.
Yeah.
Like you have to say, who is it that's going to, whose collective experience and mind am I going to tap into? And then who am I going to give to?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. Mentoring has been a big part of my, success as an athlete and in business. After I retired, I didn't no clue what I was doing, but I reached out to a few key people who became mentors, and that's really helped shape my business mindset and my attitude towards business. So without mentors for me, I know I'd be pretty screwed.
And you know, that's really neat. You said something really important there that almost gets passed over sometimes when you say it because it's so casual.
Mm-hmm.
You reached out.
Yeah.
To them.
They're not coming to me.
The bottom line is, yeah. And most of us want a mentoring relationship or we long for one, but we don't do what we have to do.
Yeah.
And it's our job. If we want to learn from somebody, it's our job to ask.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And if the mentor says, I want to mentor you, that's probably actually not going to get the best result. Even if the mentee is like, okay, cool, let's do this, I think the mentee has to really approach the mentor.
And then my job when we had this relationship with Coach Wooden was every time I showed up, I had to come well prepared. He used to say to me, the first time you come in and you're not well prepared, the first time you come in and what you really want are autographs or pictures, it's the last time you get invited.
Wow.
So my job is, you know, if I knew that, so I had to come up with a lesson plan. Wow. Every time I showed, I had to come up with a plan of what I intended to learn that day.
Huh.
And then it was my job to ask him questions and draw from him the expertise of an amazing lifetime.
It's not his job to teach you everything you knew and just say, here's what you should do.
Right. I had to draw it out.
To seek it out.
Which meant that every time I had to think, what would be some really, some nugget that I want to learn?
Sure.
Could it be, hey coach, how do you keep the 13th guy on your roster? The guy that's never going to play.
Right.
How do you keep that guy engaged every day?
Motivated.
How do you keep him motivated and encouraging? And how do you keep him from becoming a cancer when he knows he's never going to play? And so to do that, I would prepare myself by going through his rosters and identifying the 13th guy on every team so that I could ask him specifically, hey, how did you forgive me for doing this? But how did you do that with old Lewis?
Right.
I mean,
Lewis. If I was playing for UCLA basketball, I'd be 13th.
Old Lewis at the end of the bench house. How did you keep him engaged?
Right.
So I could ask him specifically and he could tell me about activities and exercises and things that he would do. That allowed these conversations to become enormously personal and meaningful.
Let's switch on to athletes. You've interviewed some great athletes. Who's one of the most inspiring athletes?
I know there are a lot of people that kind of go different. I'm Michael Jordan. Every time I get a chance to kind of be with him and in conversation with him, he to me is, his ability to mentally change the game is inspiring to me. You know, yes, he had physical gifts, but he wasn't the first player chosen in the draft.
Right.
He didn't make his high school team as a sophomore. I mean, there's a million stories out there where, and Jordan points to all of them.
Right.
You know, as what he calls, you know, logs on his fire.
Right.
Things, you know, that he holds on to. And we all have them. Heck, I mean, I don't know about you. I have a little editorial that hangs on my computer. I mean, this editorial was written 20 years ago by a newspaper, in Las Vegas that was criticizing me for something that I, you know, for a project I had written.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was wrong and it bothered me for the longest time. But today I hold on to it. It's a log on my fire.
Sure.
It reminds me that for all that I, you know, you can look and you can go, wow, what a graced life you've lived. No, I've had moments.
Right, right,
we
right.
all have.
Yeah.
And the truly great ones use those moments to do something special. And Michael Jordan is to me as incredible as anybody.
How often do you get to spend time with him?
About 8 or 9 times a year.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where? So,
just golf tournaments. I mean, I was just with him a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas.
Wow.
at his event and, you know, working on a book with him right now because wow. of his power and his passion for Make-A-Wish, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, I would say he's a guy that I find extraordinarily inspiring.
Now, why is he the best basketball player, arguably, that's ever lived?
Well, there was the combination of, you know, his ability to be his best when his best was needed, mm-hmm. right? But there was also that he had a mental strength, and an ability to, I mean, as almost all great athletes do, an ability to intimidate others just by his presence.
Mm.
And there's something about that. I mean, you know, and we all know those people. We know those people who walk in the room and everybody takes notice.
Right, right.
Michael Jordan was that guy. And I enjoy trying to get inside the mind of people like that, trying to understand what makes people like that tick.
Now, how do athletes or anyone in business or life get the point of becoming their best when their best is needed? What does someone do to get to achieve that, to learn those lessons, those skills?
Well, first, I think the first thing that's important, and you said it there too, is that these are learnable skills, uh-huh. right? Most, you know, a lot of people love to think, oh, well, that just was all natural. No, right. It wasn't. No, I'm sorry. You know what? You know, natural does happen to a degree. And there is skill set. Like, I can't play in the NBA, though I'd love to.
Right.
I'm not going to play in the NBA. My skill set won't allow it.
Yeah.
So, that's not going to happen. But beyond that, you know, there are a lot. I mean, what people have done with their skill set is what's so impressive.
Sure.
So it's an understanding of preparation. It's an understanding of what you have to do, you know, what you can, and controlling what you can control. You know, that's what so many people are focused on what they can't control.
Right.
Right. They've been out of shape about a referee or a call or this or that, or, you know, focus on what you can control.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the most important characteristics. Secondly, I think you look at it and, most great winners that I would answer that question by saying they at some stage learned how to hate losing more than they love winning.
Mm.
They expected to win. Right? Winning didn't give them the thrill. Sometimes it gives other people.
Right.
Losing.
They hated it.
Losing
more.
Hurts.
They hated losing more than they liked to win.
Right. They hate losing more than they love winning. And how do you grow to learn? How do you learn to do that? Remember, learnable. We're going to talk about learning here. How do you learn to do that? You take excuses off the table. See, because if you can make an excuse every time something doesn't go your way, and by the way, you'll never learn from that. You will never, because it's not your fault. So, right?
Oh, it's the ref's fault. It's this fault. It's the other teammate's fault.
Right. Yeah. It's, you blame it on somebody.
Right.
As long as you can blame it on somebody, you will not learn. Mike Jordan, again, great example. He and I are in this conversation about this subject. He had a great line. He said, a loss is not a failure until you make an excuse.
Huh.
And when you make an excuse, and suddenly, you know, guess what? You're just taking yourself right out of, a loss is not a failure until you make an excuse.
So what is it if it's not a failure? It's a learning experience?
It's a learning experience. Yeah. Absolutely. A loss is a learning experience until you make an excuse. And then when you make an excuse, oh, by the way, then you've lost any value in it.
Wow. This is amazing. Well, Jordan's lost a ton.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite quotes from him. You know, I missed more than 3,000 shots. You've seen it. We've all read
it. That's great.
You know, and he said, I've succeeded because I failed. Yeah. And that's exactly right. So the truly great ones get that.
Now, there have to be some people that have the same mindset and probably better athletes than Jordan out there. I mean, LeBron James is probably a better athlete.
Absolutely. So he's certainly more physically gifted.
More physically gifted. Maybe he's not a better basketball player, but he's a better athlete. Do you think athleticism can beat, you know, amazing athleticism can beat great athleticism with an average mindset?
I understand your question. And I think I think sometimes, but not over the long haul.
Uh-huh.
Right? Not over the long haul. I think if you are,
Over seven game series
or over a lifetime, basically, yeah. Right? I mean, if you were to be, if you were to have amazing athletics, amazing skill set in anything, but you're not willing to do the little things, the hard work, the preparation, the pieces that kind of grow to allowing you to be successful. If you're not willing to do those little things, then at a certain stage, someone will figure out your skill.
Yeah.
Right? People always do.
You get in your head, you won't be strong enough mentally or whatever it may be.
Yeah. People figure out your skill.
Interesting. So what is the difference between one and two then? The best in the world from the second best in the world?
Well, you know, from a practical standpoint, mm-hmm. it can be nothing. You know, I mean, it can literally, you look at Olympic events, right, where the difference between first and second is such a
tenth of a second or a hundredth of a second.
One thousandth of a second. I mean, you know, sometimes the difference between the two of them, and sometimes the difference between first and fourth is, you know,
one tenth
of a second, right? Yeah. And you either win the gold or you win nothing. And it's that fraction, right?
And it could have just been that day.
Or it could have just been whatever. Again.
Right.
Or no excuses, right?
Exactly.
Or you can say it could have just been that I didn't do what I should have done.
Right.
So I think the difference between the first and second on a less practical standpoint,
over time
is a commitment,
okay.
An understanding that you got to do you got to do common things uncommonly well. That's what most people don't want to do, the common things, right? They don't want to do the things that make you successful in any business. If you're an insurance salesperson, you know that if you make a certain number of phone calls every week, you have a better chance of success than if you make half that many phone calls every week.
Right.
The truly great ones make the number, right? They are committed to the common things, phone calls.
And they're consistent,
and
right?
And they're consistent.
Over
they do
time.
Them uncommonly well.
Yeah.
Right. And, that to me has a huge difference between one and two.
Interesting. A recent book, I don't know if it's your last book, but one, it's called, I think, 16 Characteristics of Greatness, right?
Yeah. Yep. I've spent the last 25 years kind of asking these great winners, a single question, which is if you could pick a characteristic, something that separated you from your peer or your competitor, something allowed you to go from good to great and stay there, what would that characteristic be? And so what this book is, it's kind of a collection of the the answers that come up most often.
16 common themes.
When those great winners are asked that question.
Interesting.
And, number one is we just talked about it. Hate to lose more than you love to win. Number two is they understand the value. They understand they're only as good as their inner circle, that they'll never outperform their inner circle. That lesson from Coach Wooden. They're really not in order. I mean, I don't want anyone to think.
Yeah.
But number one is the answer that comes up most often. But it's not that number 16 is the answer comes at least.
You're right.
It's just that they all play into, you know, how they live, how they think, how they work, how they prepare.
It's a total package. It's not just one thing. You've got to do all the different things right in order to achieve greatness. And you got to be very disciplined.
Yeah. In fact, I say all the time that, you know, to me, the one thing about greatness, and I don't know about you as you use the phrase, but the one thing that's interesting to me is it's harder to define greatness than to achieve it, right?
Right.
So it really comes down to my definition of greatness as I write in my book, and yours might be different than mine. But as mine goes, you know, one of the most important things is your ability to be well-rounded, that you may be able to win 14 major golf tournaments, in your lifetime. But, if the rest of your life's a disaster, then you're a good golfer.
You're a great golfer, right? Or you're still a good golfer.
I think you're a good golfer, but you're not a great. Because again, I reserve great for someone that's got the package
all around in life,
right? And
I like that definition. So
I look at people. I mean, you know, I've met a few. I've met a few in my lifetime who have been so extraordinary in one thing that you, that most people would, if you just wanted to focus on that gift, you'd go, wow, that's incredible. But then you meet them and you spend time with them and you realize that they're a train wreck in so many other parts of their life that greatness is not really the phrase you'd use.
For anything
else
in their life.
At least for me.
Right. Interesting. Now, you're not referring to someone specific right now, are you?
Golfing. Yeah, I was clearly referring to Tiger Woods.
Sure.
But, you know, I
so
think.
So would you consider him a good golfer then?
I think Tiger's a good golfer.
Yeah. He's not a great golfer.
You know, again, I use the word great.
Sure.
Great to me has a more well-rounded approach to it. I guess I'm not actually defining great golfer. I'm thinking greatness and I don't put Tiger
total
in that category. So, and you know what? One day he might be. One of my favorite quotes of all time is, you know, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And,
there you go.
So I'm real careful. I don't sit in judgment of people based upon a history.
Right.
I do want to judge them on what they're doing today.
The steps
they're taking to it. We should all have a future. Right?
Yeah. And we've all made mistakes and messed up.
Trust me. I've been there, baby. I get it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I did an episode previously where, and I've mentioned this a few times, where I've been trying to figure out what's more powerful for athletes, to believe fully in themselves or to believe in their faith or God, and which one gives them the upper hand, I guess, when they're competing. So I've talked about the power of belief before. I had David Anderson out here who played wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and he's also caught for Tim Tebow a bunch of times. And he said it was amazing to see, you know, the power of his belief and his faith. And there's other guys, who would I think of, like Meta World Peace maybe, or someone like that in the past, where they talk about is themselves. They're very self-centered and egotistical and think that they have the gift. Either way, I heard this in some interview at some point that, you know, the best have a belief in something, whether it's their faith or themselves. They believe so strong in that that you can't break it. Do you feel like that's true?
Absolutely.
Actually
on my little list of characteristics of great winners. It's at the very top. It's near the very top. But I actually believe that it's the ability to, it's your ability to have a sense of a higher power. I don't think it's
really.
Yeah. So I think it's innate. If you have all these other things working, a sense of self-confidence will come with that, right? Uh-huh. Because you have a peace. There's a peace that comes with from peace grows self-confidence. But I will tell you that to me, when I look at those who I would put in this category, extraordinary, great people, faith, not always worn on their sleeve like Tim Tebow, you know, but faith in a higher power. It doesn't have to be my faith.
It doesn't have to be religion.
Doesn't have to be what I believe, uh-huh. right? But they believe something out there is bigger than them. Right,
right, right.
And I think
it's
that's
created
important.
Them has
right
yes.
has a role in their lives that's bigger than they are.
Interesting.
Because I think if we become too self-absorbed, if we're too if that self-confidence becomes self-absorption,
yes,
we believe we're the center of the universe. You know what? It doesn't take long for that to crash down around you.
You may be able to get to the top, but it's not going to stay at the
top. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Right? And again, back to my definition of greatness, it's about sustainability. It's about being able to get someplace, stay someplace. Where most people can't even get there.
Right. What do you think is the biggest thing holding people back from greatness? Is it doubt or fear, or is it something else?
I think the greatest thing holding most people back from fear or from greatness is their ability to understand that it's available to them, that it's capable.
They don't
most
know
people,
it's available.
Most people believe that's reserved for somebody else, right? They have a belief that they have a sense that they are, that somehow they're not worthy, you know? And I say this as a guy who thinks about
that
all the time,
right?
I think about it all the time.
Sure.
I struggle with worthiness all the time. I look all the time at what I get to do and I think, man, am I really deserving of this?
I'm hanging out with Michael Jordan every other month. I'm doing, you know, coach, all these coaches.
You know, you're sitting and going, am I worthy? And so I get it. I get totally that it's a struggle for most people because I struggle with it.
Sure.
And each and every time I do that, I have to go back to an understanding that this was made available to me because I did other things right.
Right.
Just keep doing the other things right, and it will continue to be available to me. So
how does someone get over that fear, that, you know, that concern that I'm not good enough?
just as I do, yeah. Right? Just as I do. Say to yourself, make it a point to yourself. You know what? I'm here because I did things to get me here.
Right.
To stay here, I got to continue to do those things.
And what if they haven't even gotten above average?
You know what? Greatness is also one of those things that it's different for each of us.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
You know, my greatness is different than Michael Jordan's.
It's true.
Mine's different from yours.
Right.
But if we're working toward it, and I also, a lot of this sounds so ethereal, which is kind of crazy because I'm not an ethereal kind of guy. I want to see something. I want to reach out and try to grab it. Right. I want to hold a trophy when it's over, kind of thing. Right. But to me, this understanding of greatness, it's not really attainable. Mm. You'll never really get there because if you do, it's over.
It's the pursuit of it. It's the journey.
Right. It's Vince Lombardi once said that, greatness is not attainable. But in the pursuit of it, you can achieve excellence.
That's great.
And, so I'm about that. I'm about the pursuit of greatness in the hopes of excellence.
Interesting. Now, have you ever thought about being a coach?
No.
No?
No, I work with my 4-year-old son's T-ball team, and that's about as much as I can work on right there. I can't imagine.
No? Well, all those lessons you've learned, you don't think you could make a great team out of it?
I don't know. It's not one of those places I've let myself wonder. I mean, I do, for me, it's really kind of more corporate coaching now. Sure, I do end up with a lot of corporate relationships where companies engage me to do more than a keynote. I mean, to actually stay involved and do monthly webinars. You and I were talking about that yesterday kind of bringing on some other lessons. So my coaching is more on the corporate side than on athletic.
This is just as useful. Interesting. Now what, who's the one athlete that you'd like to write for or about that you haven't yet? The person you want to meet, someone's story that's exceptional.
Derek Jeter.
I'm
fascinated by his ability to play at the highest level in the highest media market in the United States, in the world. That much pressure to consistently be not just a top flight athlete, but a pretty extraordinary human being by all accounts of everybody I know who knows him, right? And I've interviewed him a couple of times, but not in anything other than small group settings. So, I marvel at him.
Mm.
I marvel at his ability to do that. And again, to have, to just consistently, do it and without anybody being able to kind of besmirch his character, which to me, I'm not even a Yankees guy. But again, I'm not a big fan of any team. I really enjoy people. I root for people.
Yeah.
And Derek Jeter's one of those guys I'll always root for. Wow. I hope he comes back and I hope he's healthy and I hope he gets to end it on his terms.
Sure.
Cause you and I both know that in athletics, that doesn't happen often enough.
Right. We got a few minutes left, but what's your thoughts on Kobe and his injury? You think he's able to come back and achieve the same level of greatness, or is he kind of?
I think that injury at his age is really difficult. And I think, you hate that it happened in the most common of moves, it wasn't
landing.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever happened.
Just a takeoff. I mean, he was just literally, making a quick jab step to the basket and boom, gone. I mean, our bodies fail us. I understand that, baby.
Wow. Crazy. Well, what's next for you then? What do you got going on?
So I'm finishing this book with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is really incredible. Sitting down with the top 25 athletes who grant wishes to children.
Wow.
It's been incredible. Michael Phelps, Tony Hawk,
Michael Jordan.
So
you get to interview all these guys.
Everyone of them sitting down one by one and talking to them about what wish they granted most affected them, wish they granted most changed them, which is really incredible. Book comes out this fall. It's called Wish Granted. And it's really awesome. Every dollar in the book goes to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Wow.
And so it's a big, big deal. Really exciting.
That'll be number 8 in New York Times bestseller.
I hope so. I would hate to think that it doesn't make it because it should.
Wow.
And then I've just agreed to do my first big non-sports book, which is with Stephen R. Covey. His family invited me to write his autobiography. So very excited by that. Looking forward to telling the the life story of one of the most amazing non-sports men I've ever gotten a chance to meet.
Well, that's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, right?
Yeah, that's him.
Which is
41 million books that guy sold. He understands. He's a brand.
That seems like it's a perfect fit for you with, you know, your greatness book and writing that. So.
Well, and he was a big fan of Coach Wood, and so I think that had a lot to do with why I got this chance.
I actually got to hear him speak one time at a Tony Robbins event back when I was like 16 in St. Louis. He spoke, and it's very inspiring. Very powerful message from
absolutely.
On stage.
Completely.
That's very cool. Well, where can people find you online, Don?
www.donyeager.com, DonYaeger.com. And, you know, I'm not as linked or as as Twitter savvy or Facebook loved as you, but I'm trying.
You're using it. I see you out there. You've got a great newsletter that I read every time you send it out.
Thank you. Yeah, we do that once a
month. Make sure to sign up for Don's newsletter. And
we actually, if they go to that website, we actually do. I've been collecting great quotes, as you've heard me use a few of them here. And so I send out a quote every morning I don't know how many. There's several thousand people that get it every morning, which is kind of neat. It's a great way to kind of stay involved with a community of people that kind of are looking for a little inspiration. So if any of your listeners are there, love to share a quote with them every day.
Go sign up at Don's site and check him out. Look for his new books. And I appreciate you, Don. Thanks so much.
Dude, thank you. They began to
recognize. And there you guys have it. I hope you enjoyed this episode with my good man, Mr. Don Yeager. And make sure to please head over to schoolofgreatness.com to check out all the different show notes. I'm going to be linking up all the things we talked about here today. You'll be able to check out Don's site. You'll be able to connect with him on Twitter and Facebook and all that other good stuff. And even go see him speak. I encourage you to go check him out and hear him speak in person. Very inspirational guy. And you're gonna hear about him for a long time coming. I'm sure you're gonna see even a few more, maybe 5 or 10 more books that he's gonna write, which will be New York Times bestsellers. With that, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, again, please share this on Facebook, on Twitter, tag it on Instagram, whatever you want to do. Schoolofgreatness.com. Leave us your honest reviews over on iTunes, and maybe we'll give you a quick shout out for the review of the week. With that, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and remember to make sure and do something great. They began to recognize.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.